Good morning, second service, and I join all the rest in wishing all the moms a happy and a good day, and invite you to turn in your Bibles to Philippians, the first chapter, and we'll begin reading with verse 21 and read through verse 26. This is the sixth message in a series of several messages, and we remain in the first chapter, but today reading five verses, 21 through 26. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet which I shall choose, I cannot tell. I'm hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith, so that in me you may have ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus because of my coming to you again. Let's bow for prayer. Our Father, I pray today that this passage of Scripture would be powerful in our midst. There are such insightful living principles that all of us need to be aware of, practice, and follow after. So teach us today. Hide me that I might not be seen nor heard, and ever increase the Lordship of Christ in our minds and in our thoughts. Be honored and glorified, exalted and praised, through Christ our Lord, I pray. Amen. Well, this being the sixth message, let me just set the stage for where we are. In that first message, Paul reminded them that every time he thought about them, he prayed for them. They were people who mattered in their lives. They were special people. And Paul said, every thought brings to my heart and to my mind a prayer on your behalf. He reminds the people at Philippi that God is working on them so that he can work through them, and that God is not finished working on them and will keep on working until the day of Christ, until life is over, until Jesus comes again. Paul talked about adversity and how even in the midst of adversity, the gospel can prosper and God can be glorified. In fact, he says, the things which have happened to me have happened for the furtherance of the gospel. He had been thrown into jail, but in jail he had a new audience, a new place to preach, and a new people to preach to. And last week he reminded the church at Philippi that life was worth redeeming, that he did not want his life to dishonor the cause of Christ. So he kept his body in subjection, lest when he had spoken or preached to others, he might himself become a castaway. And today he's talking about a real struggle. For to me, to live is Christ, but to die is gain. And so his struggle is between a place that he knows has been prepared for him and a people who he needs to minister to, and in order to do that, he must stay behind. It's about happiness for himself and a home going, or ministry for others and staying in this present evil world. It's about him thinking not so much of himself, but always and often for others. It's about joy, Jesus, others, and then yourself. But I fear that we are so unfamiliar with heaven and unconcerned about people that selfishness creeps in quite often in many of our lives. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But we want to live, and we want to continue to live, and we want to live for ourselves. Someone has dubbed this the me first generation. It's about me. It's about mine. It's about my popularity and my pleasure and my playthings. And if someone else wants to horn in on me and mine, then it's about my rights, not responsibilities. It's about my rewards, not my risk. It's a me first generation. But the apostle was not like that. For to me, to live is Christ, but to die is gain. So I have two thoughts to share with you briefly. The first is, Paul just makes a statement about death. And the second is, Paul makes a statement about life. And so this is a message about dead or alive. First, a statement about death. You might think, Pastor, what a gloomy thought on a special day like this. But Paul didn't see death as gloomy. Paul saw the death of a Christian as glorious. Absent from the body was to be present with the Lord. Paul said death leads to a better life. Now listen to him. He says, if you're a Christian, the death of a Christian leads to a better life. How can it be a better life? It's the absence of this world, and it's the presence of the world to come. Think of all the things that discourage you, that defeat you, that hurt you, that destroy you, that hinder you. And think of the absence of all of those things in your life. What if you could open your calendar and look what you have to do tomorrow, and all it said was, praise God. And you flip the page, and oh, Tuesday, I've got to praise the Lord. And Wednesday, the same thing, and Thursday and Friday, and let's look at next month. Oh, that's when I'll be circling the throne and crying out, holy, holy, holy. And the following month, oh, that's hallelujah month in glory. No doctor appointments, no funerals, no counseling sessions, no breakups, no hurts, no hopelessness, no hindrances. The absence of this world and all that hurts us here, and the presence of the world to come and all that's holy and wonderful and great there. I asked the Lord this week if I could have just a moment to speak on my own during this message, and He said, if you'll be brief. I thought I'd get an amen for sure. In the course of a year, for more than 40 plus years now, I've been speaking at 10, 12, 15, 20 funeral services, year after year after year. And I want to talk to you just a moment about how I feel about the death of a Christian. If you've ever been in a service that I conducted, I probably said at least one or two and maybe all three of the following things. I always say, don't tell me if your loved one was a Christian that you've lost a husband, a wife, a son or a daughter, a mom or a dad. Nothing is ever lost when you know where it is. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. The second thing I always say is, we grieve because we're the ones who've been left in the land of the dying. Our loved ones have gone on to the land of the living. It is a normal human response to grieve. And we grieve because we are not with them. But their coronation day, their crowning day, their victory day has already occurred. And it is we who have been left behind to suffer. And number three, It is right for us to cry. It is right for us to sorrow. It is right for us to grieve. But please, do not grieve as those who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and was buried, even so we believe that Christ will come again, and the dead in Christ will be raised, and living saints will be raptured, and together forever we shall be with the Lord. That's why Paul said the death of a Christian is a better life, better than any of us are living today, better than any of us know anything about, better than any of us can even anticipate. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for his people. So when Paul talks about dying, it's not gloomy, it's glorious. He says, for to me to live is Christ. But oh, if I could die, there would be a gain. He said, it's a better life. But he said, I want to tell you, it's a blessed leaving. Paul says to Timothy on one occasion, I've fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I've finished my course. And preceding that, he said, the time of my departure is at hand. And if you could study the Greek word for departure, you'd find that it had a multiplicity of meanings. Departure could mean the setting free of a prisoner. No longer will bars and chains hold me down. I am free to go and to be. I have been set free. Departure. Departure can also mean the taking off of the yoke of the oxen. The day is ended and the old animal has arrived back at the night's dwelling place. He's going to be fed and comforted and rest. There remains, therefore, now a rest for the people of God. The old yoke will come off. The burden of this life will be lifted. And like a free pigeon above, we will fly out and be available to the blessings of God in a new and better place. It's like the striking down of a tent. My departure, this earthly tabernacle that I live in, will be torn down, and suddenly I will no longer be confined to time and to space, but I'll soar to a place where there is no time, it's eternity. And there is no single, solitary one place. It's any place that my Lord is will be heaven for me. And it also means the lifting of an anchor. You and I both know that ships were not made for the harbor. They were made for the open sea. The Apostle Paul says that the word departure is one who's left the harbor and now is sailing the open sea, the beautiful atmosphere of the presence of God. Places we've never been and things we've never been able to do. So when Paul talks about death, he said for a Christian, death is a better life. And he said for a Christian, it's a blessed leaving, absent from this old worn out, out of warranty body and present with the Lord. But in the second place, he makes a statement about life. And two little phrases are used here. He said, it's my desire to depart and be with Christ because that would be better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. And earlier he said, if I live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. So now he mentions himself and others. Here's what he's saying. Fruitful labor for me, but it'll be on your account. So the Apostle Paul is saying, if I die, I go to be with Jesus. But if I live, then life still has great meaning. I am going to be involved in a fruitful labor. I'm not here wasting my time, my energy, or my effort. I'm here because I'm living out the Christ life. For to me to live is Christ. Now, had Paul said, for me to live is money, and lost his money, he'd have no reason to live. For me to live is popularity, but he's not popular, he's in prison, so there's no reason to live. For me to live is power, and he's under authority. Instead of having authority, he'd have to say there's no reason to live. But none of those things were his reason for living. He said, I am living because of Christ, and I can live for Christ in the palace or in the prison. I can live for Christ in good days and in bad days. I can live for Christ under any set of circumstances. So Paul is saying, my life still has meaning, even if I have to remain behind in a world that is dark, in a world that is dismal, in a world that is discouraging. I still have meaning in my life because for me to live is Christ. And I just want to ask you a very candid and frank question this morning. If you had to fill in the blank, for me to live is, what would you put there? Well, Pastor, I'm trying to get to the top of my company. I'm trying to make more. I'm trying to have more. I'm trying to do more. It's my portfolio. I'm trying to fill it up. I'm trying to get as much as I can while I can. Well, I'm wanting this for that my life. I'm wanting that for my life. I'd like to grab it all and rake it in. I'm hungry for the things that this world has to offer. How would you fill in the blank? Well, here's one prisoner writing to the church at Philippi who says, none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself. I just press toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. For to me, to live is Christ. Life has meaning. Listen, life has ministry. Life has ministry. It has meaning because it'll be my fruitful labor, but it has ministry because it's on your account. Paul said, you're the reason God's going to leave me here. Joy, Jesus, then others, and then yourself. God's going to leave me here, he said, because you need me. That's not a pompous statement. That's not arrogant. He is simply saying, because I'm connected to Christ, I'm concerned about people. And listen, I know the problem. The reason more of us are not concerned about people is because we are disconnected from Christ. The more connected to Christ we become, the more concerned about people we are. If your neighbor's lost and you've never witnessed to him, it's not because you're just unconcerned about him. It's because you're not as connected to Christ as you ought to be. The more connected to Christ we are, the more concerned for people we will be. And if people and their spiritual needs don't concern you, you may have a spiritual problem yourself. It may be a disconnect with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. For Paul said, when I am right with Christ, I am concerned about others. My connection to Christ gives me a concern for others. It's on your account. My life has meaning. Fruitful labor, labor that prospers, labor that produces, labor that is profitable. But he said, not only does my life have meaning, my life is full of ministry. I'm not here for me, I'm here for him, and I'm here for others. And many of you that come each Sunday have heard me say repeatedly, and I hope that by now you feel the same way. Once you come to Christ and he becomes your personal Savior, it's not about you anymore. It's then about him and all of them who've not yet come. And the question mark then becomes, is it still about you? Is it still about you? Did somebody get your seat and make you mad? Did somebody sing the wrong song that you didn't enjoy? Did somebody preach the wrong sermon? Did something happen that displeased you? Is it still about you? Or is it about the fact that having been saved by the grace of God, you are so connected to Christ that you become concerned for others, saying, it's not about me. It's about him, and it's about them, those who've not yet come to the Lord. So that may be why the hymn writer said it this way, Lord, help me live from day to day in such a self-forgetful way that even when I kneel to pray, my prayer shall be for others. Let self be crucified and slain and buried deep till all is vain. And may efforts rise again to live for others. And others, Lord, yes, others. Let this my motto be, help me to live for others so that I might live like thee. Dead or alive, if I'm dead, I'm more alive than I ever was on earth. And I have left in a blaze of glory, tearing down the old tent, lifting up the anchor, taking off the burden, and going home. But if I'm left behind, my life still has meaning. For me to live is Christ. And my life can still have ministry because I am left on your account to bear fruitful labor. Joy, Jesus, others, and then yourself. Let's stand. Please, no one leaving. Every heart and every head focused upon these next few moments. If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, let me ask you just now to give that prayerful consideration, strong prayerful consideration. If you need to profess Christ publicly and follow Him in baptism and become a part of this New Testament church, this would be a great day for you to be obedient to the gospel. If you need to come to be prayed for, to be prayed with about any matter or any person, pastors will be here to receive you as you come. These next moments are vital. These are the moments where the gospel of Christ that's been sung and preached can now be received and obeyed. So pastors, you come and fill the altar, and as we sing together, you respond to the call of Christ.
I love